Morning, everybody, and welcome to First Christian Church on this lovely day. We are so happy that you are joining us this Mother's Day. Please silence your cell phones as we prepare for worship by listening to the lovely prelude prepared for us. Please sign the pink friendship pad located at the end of your pew and pass it to the center aisle. Music Sunday is next Sunday. There will only be one service and no chapel service. Please plan to attend the 10:10 service and invite a friend. It should be a really good service. The church is in the process of searching for a search committee for the elders, and I think they might almost be done with that. We have 8 out of 9, so we only have one more to find. And it will be approved tomorrow at the executive board. Next Sunday, May 18th, there will be a seminar on evangelism. Reverend Bob Bright from Cheyenne will be here to lead it. If you are interested in participating, please sign up this Sunday. There's going to be a new summer women's Bible study called Jesus Calling. It's an 8-week Bible study every Thursday afternoon at 1. If you are interested, please contact Lonnie McBee, Peg Jackson, or Carol Sage. Please sign up for lawn mowing if you are able to make our lawns lovely. And then also summer music. If you are interested in singing or playing or just all around entertaining us this summer, there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the hallway. Also, volunteers are needed to help lead VeggieTales in the summer for our awesome kiddos. contact Jennifer Grooms or Maggie Grooms if you are interested in helping with that. The region is hosting a mission trips for individuals and families in the South Hills Retreat Center outside of Twin Falls, Idaho. Sign up by May 15th. And you can call Pastor Jason Kuhn if you are interested. And also a tiny note, there will be CYF Sunday School today, so I'll just put that out there right now. Okay, are there any additional announcements? Nope. Okay, if not, please stand and greet those around you and then join us in singing our opening hymn, Faith of Our Mothers, located in your bulletin.
Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship listed in the bulletin and on the overhead screen. God, with a mother's heart, you gather us as your children. You comfort and hold us in your warm embrace. When we are hungry, you feed us with the bread of life.
God, with a mother's heart, your love surrounds and supports us in the midst of joy and pain, always and everywhere.
You will never leave nor abandon us, God eternal and loving one.
God,
please join me in prayer. Father, we come to you and welcome you into this sanctuary. You are our creator and provider. You formed us in our mother's wombs. We are thankful for our mothers. We ask that you lead and guide and shepherd us this morning. Our desire, Father, is to know and to love and to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We will share together the Lord's Prayer, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. If you would, please turn in the hymnal to page number 79, God is my shepherd. This hymn is inspired by the 23rd Psalm. We'll sing verses 1 and 2. On this Mother's Day, we give thanks for all the women in our congregation who help mothers, those who are younger than they, for the ways in which you teach and mentor and shepherd. One of the women in our midst who is like a mother to the whole church is Jennifer Grooms. She has headed up our Christian Education Commission for many years and served us so faithfully. We are thankful for her leadership. Every year, it is the privilege of Christian Ed to celebrate both with our graduates and with our young children in the church. We mark that day today. I'm going to invite Sydney Oliver to come up. Sydney is graduating from high school, and we want to give her a grown-up Bible from the church. It is an NIV student Bible. It will be something that she can read for many, many years to come and use well. And Sydney, I'm wondering if you want to share with the congregation what your plans are after graduation. There's a mic right here if you just want to tell us what happens in your life next.
I'll be going to Casper College for a couple years to major in music performance, and then after that I'm thinking about going to cosmetology.
Congratulations to Sydney.
Thank you.
Our other high school graduate in the congregation this year is Carson Johnson. He is competing this morning in a rodeo event in Gillette, so he's not able to be here with us, but we will make sure to deliver a Bible to him. It's a great tradition of this congregation, like with many other disciple churches, to present Bibles to young students when they are first learning to read. This year we have two students who are completing second grade, and they will receive a first Bible as a gift from the church. So I'm going to ask Max Stewart and Olivia Wardell to come forward this morning to receive their Bibles. I know Olivia's mom's here. Is Olivia being shy? Olivia, you have hugged every single person here on their way out of worship. So come on up, sweetheart. Don't leave Max up here hanging all by himself. He's brave and he just marched right up. Well, it's Mother's Day. You can bring Mom with you if you want. That's okay. Mom can come too. And Althea comes to preschool here, so Olivia's bringing her support team for moral support. So this is Olivia's Bible, and this is Max's Bible. And I want to ask the congregation to pray with me for just a moment for God's blessing on these young people. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you that Max and Olivia have the opportunity to learn to read. We pray that it is with joy and wonder that they will begin to read your word. Help them as they read the stories of faith to grow in faith themselves. Bless these Bibles to be worn out by these young people for the enthusiasm they have in studying your word. In Christ's name, God, we ask you to bless Max and Olivia, amen. Congratulations, guys. At this time, our young children who participate in Worship and Wonder and the Young Disciples class are invited to follow the leaders out. Later in the service, our junior high and high school youth will be dismissed. As the kids are heading to Worship and Wonder, I encourage you to look on the back of your bulletin at a list of prayer concerns of the congregation. As we share these, you may want to reach into the pew rack in front of you and take out a prayer card. Write a note on those cards to someone who needs to know we're praying for them during worship today. Our card chart this morning is for Joan McNamara. Joan fell and broke her shoulder. She is home, but the recovery is slow and very painful because of where the fracture is. She's not having surgery, and they can't cast it, so she's in a brace that holds it immobile. After healing has begun, she'll begin some physical therapy, but it's a very painful process. So please pray for Joan and for Bob. Some joys and concerns shared from the first service today. Judy Potter gives thanks for prayers offered for her son. He had open heart surgery last Tuesday. He is already home from the hospital and doing well. Marie Hinthorn will be discharged tomorrow from Elkhorn and will return home. Prayers of continued healing for her. Please pray for Monica Decker and for Cal's mom, Mary. Today is a birthday for both Al Singleton and George Morrison. Happy birthday to them. And Martha, Happy birthday, Martha. There may be others in our midst who are celebrating birthdays, as well as those who are having Mother's Day celebrations. So happy birthday to one and all. Prayers of blessing for our graduates, for parents who are sending their young ones forth into the world. In addition to Carson and Sydney, our high school graduates, we are also rejoicing with Spencer Stupak, who has completed his bachelor's in engineering. Our community and world concerns include prayers for Monica Little, who serves as a missionary in East Timor, prayers for the First Christian Church Board as they meet tomorrow night. As we heard during announcements, 8 of the 9 members who will serve on the next pastoral search committee looking for an associate minister have been named. We have 1 ninth person who is considering the request. So pray for the 9th member of the team that will be confirmed by the board tomorrow night. Our world concerns include another school shooting that happened in Denver this past week. The STEM High School was a site of violence. South Broadway Christian Church is just down the road from that school, and their pastoral staff promptly went to be on site to pray with families and with first responders. Our regional prayer partners are the members of Milagro Christian Church in Pueblo, Colorado. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary if you would like to send greetings to their pastor, Marnie Leinberger, and to the members of that church. Are there other concerns or joys that we want to share this day? Dan.
I'm just encouraged for my family that lives in Gaza.
Prayers for family members in Gaza. Kylie. The family has just returned from Florida to visit with, is he still there?
No, he just got back.
Okay. So the Stewart family has just returned from Florida to be with this dear friend who died suddenly of a heart attack at a very young age and leaves behind children. So, and a wife, we continue to pray with you and with your husband and with your husband's best friend. During this loss, prayers of peace for him in eternity, and prayers for his family. Belle.
Prayers of safe travel. We are traveling to the barge for a funeral today and tomorrow.
Prayers for Belle and family traveling to the barge for a funeral. And I know that there are many who are traveling for graduations. Prayers of safe travels for all of those who are on the road. Anyone else this morning? Let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. Holy and gracious God, our heavenly parent, as a mother loves her children, so you love us. On this Mothering Sunday, O Holy One, as we think of families, we give thanks for women who reflect your love and your strength as they guide others in life. We pray, O Lord, on this day for those who are missing their mothers. We rejoice with young mothers holding new babies who are excited and fearful for the future. We pray with mothers of young children and teenagers and young adults who can only guide and shepherd their children so far before trusting them, Lord, into your care as they make their way into the world. We pray for mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, for aunts and great-aunts at the end of their life, as they continue to love with mother's hearts. Lord, we pray for women who find themselves in challenging times. We pray for those who long to become mothers and yet find themselves without birthing children, and so they mother in other ways. We pray for women who are single parents. And we pray for men who fill the role of mother and father both. Loving Lord, we know that in the best of families, a parent's love reflects your love for us. And we acknowledge that not all of our human families are whole and healthy. And so we pray for families who on days like today are mindful of divisions they wish they could heal but cannot. We pray, O God, for all of your children, that you would gather us together under your sheltering wings, that you would shepherd us and lead us through the trying times of life as well as in joyous moments. Lord, let us know that you always love us, no matter what. We pray, O healing God, for those who need your strength this day in physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual ways. We pray for Joan McNamara as she continues to recover from a broken shoulder, for Marie Hinthorn as she heads home from Elkhorn tomorrow. We rejoice with Judy that her son's open heart surgery went well, and we pray for healing for Monica Decker and for Cal's mom, Mary Decker. We ask, Lord, for safe travels, for Belle and her family as they go to a funeral, and for others who travel for more joyous reasons, to celebrate graduations or to be with family and friends. Oh God, keep them all safe. We join with Dan in praying for loved ones in Gaza. And we pray for others who live in areas of violence around the world. Lord, we ask you this day to be with Abel Stewart, to calm and strengthen his heart as he continues to grieve the passing of his best friend, a young man who died far too soon and leaves behind a wife and children. Lord, for this young family in Florida, we pray for your strength and your peace to be with them every day. We thank you for the abiding friendship that Abel and Kylie shared by traveling to be there to give comfort and support. Lord, for all who mourn, but especially for those who are young and face loss, we ask for your peace, your abiding presence. God, we pray that you would bless families of students at the STEM High School in Denver who are reeling from another school shooting. We thank you for the pastors of South Suburban Christian Church and the witness they gave to provide support in a shocking and devastating situation. Lord, we ask you to bless Monica Little as she serves in East Timor and to be with missionaries around the world. Give each one of us a missionary's heart that we might share your love with all people we meet. Bless Pastor Marnie and the members of Milagro in Pueblo. And Lord, on this day, we lift to you prayers that we cannot put into words, but that we hold in tremulous hearts, knowing that you look into our lives and meet our needs, even when we cannot name them aloud. O gracious and mothering God, thank you for shepherding us through life. Bless all your children. Bless all your people. Bless your church to be a movement for wholeness in a fragmented world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Today is a day to celebrate mom. Moms are amazing. Today, many moms are going to wake up to breakfast in bed. Their kids may have made a huge ruckus, may have made a huge mess, but in the end, they came into the bedroom with a tray full of semi-edible food because they wanted to do something nice for their mom, because they love her that much. Of course, mom knows what's going on the whole time, and when they come in with the huge smiles on their faces, she can act surprised and eat the meal that she's been given. Jesus, however, doesn't have to surprise us with breakfast in bed. We get to look forward to it every week. We don't have to worry about making a mess or even cleaning up. We just get the joy of partaking in the gift that we have been given, the gift of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us. Please join us in singing the hymn In Remembrance of Me in your hymnal number 403. I think, did I do it right?
It is in remembrance of Jesus that we live our lives as people of faith, that we feed the hungry and care for one another, that we reach out to a world in need. It is in remembrance of Jesus that we come to this table. And while we are here, we break the bread as he did long ago, sharing it with his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so it is in remembrance of Jesus that we also take the cup, the fruit of the vine, recalling his promise that this is the new covenant poured out in his blood, given to forgive our sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Most gracious God, as we approach your table this Mother's Day morning, we are ever mindful of the sacrificial love and eternal hope Jesus shared throughout his life, in his death, and glory be to God in his resurrection to new life. This morning, we are mindful also of the great love his mother Mary had for her son Jesus. From those early moments of his birth in the little town of Bethlehem, through his dedication in the temple as a babe, and throughout his youth and lifelong ministry, Mary always was close by, as she loved him so very much. And as we know, ultimately, in his crucifixion, his mother Mary stood near the foot of the cross, weeping for the son she loved. How sad then, but what joy for her and the entire world when 3 days later God raised up Jesus from death into new life, eternal life, and eternal hope for us all. As we take the bread and the cup this morning, let us celebrate his life, his mother's life, and the hope that lies before us in Christ's name. Amen.
What we give to God, we can give many things. We can give money, we can give time, we can give ourselves. And as his stewards, that is our responsibility. Try and look inside of you and see what you can offer, because everybody can offer something in their own special little way. One of the joys of life is being able to give for God and give for ourselves. The diaconate will now collect our offerings. Please join me in prayer. With these tithes and offerings, O God, we dedicate ourselves to being the witness of Jesus Christ in our world. We recommit our lives and our resources to discovering the presence of Jesus all around us and to work with his resurrected spirit to bring healing and new life to those in need. Amen.
My share of broken halos, folded wings that used to fly, they're all gone wherever they go. Broken halos that used to shine. Angels come down from the heavens just to help us on our way. Come to teach us, then they leave us, and they find some other soul to save. Seen my share of broken halos, folded wings that used to fly. They've all gone wherever they go. Broken halos that used to shine. broken halos that used to shine. Don't go looking for the reasons. Don't go asking Jesus why. We're not meant to know the answers. They belong to the by and by. They belong to the by and by. Seen my share of broken halos, folded wings that used to fly. They're all gone wherever they go. Broken halos that used to shine. Broken halos that used to shine. Broken halos that used to shine. Broken halos that used to shine.
Today we're going to do a familiar psalm, the 23rd psalm. You'll find that in your chalice hymnal on page 734. You need to know the 23rd psalm. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen.
Our second scripture reading today is found in the book of Revelation. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, you can turn to page 249 towards the end of the New Testament. Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship God day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Janice, for that gift of music. You always bring such a wonderful country feel to our services when you share your special music. Thank you for your talent. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you are both the Lamb and the Good Shepherd. Come now and be with us, your people. Guide us to the path of wisdom and understanding as we reflect together on your word. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts. Bless our lives to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Oftentimes, when people read the book of Revelation, they tend to ask what I think is the wrong question. They tend to ask, when? When will this vision of prophecy be fulfilled? A better question is, who? Who is it written for, and who is it about? Sometimes we're tempted instead to ask the question, where? Where is heaven? Where is this glorious vision going to unfold? But ultimately, the when and the where are unknowable for us. They are in God's hands. But the who is at the heart of this word, we can know intimately and well. Revelation 7 begins with an intense and detailed description of those who gather around the throne of the Lamb. The beginning part of Revelation 7 talks about the 144,000 of Israel, a symbolic number of those that God will gather together out of the tribes of Israel. It lists specifically 12,000 people coming from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. In Scripture, there's a lot of symbolism and symbolic understanding behind numbers, and this number represents the wholeness, the completeness of God's heaven. But after the 144,000 are sealed, John's vision continues. He says, "After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes, peoples and languages standing before the throne. Who is invited to gather in eternity to worship the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ? Who is invited? Anyone and everyone who would give their heart to the Lamb. There's no division between what country you come from, what language you speak, what your economic or educational status may be. All who turn their hearts to the Lord are included in this vision. They gather together before the Lamb with palm branches in hand, crying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." In the Gospel, according to John, Jesus of Nazareth is called the Lamb of God. He's identified as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In John's telling of those events that we remembered just a few weeks ago before celebrating Easter, in John's telling of the Passover meal, Jesus himself is the Passover lamb. The disciples gather together, and it is Jesus who is sacrificed. It is his blood that guarantees the spirit of death will pass over those who follow him. This vision of Jesus as the Lamb continues in the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ is then identified as the Lamb upon the throne. Now think about it. Jesus is at once both the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, who takes away our sins, the sacrificial Lamb who gave his blood on the cross. Jesus is simultaneously the Lamb and the Good Shepherd. For countless generations, when Christians read together the 23rd Psalm, they immediately identify Jesus Christ as the shepherd, the one who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. What a strange thing it is to ponder that the Lamb is also the shepherd. But that connection of imagery is made clear at the end of Revelation 7. The promise is given to those who are before the throne of God that they will hunger no more and thirst no more. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. It's actually a very theological statement to think about Jesus as both Lamb and shepherd. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, is fully human. He knows what it means to walk on this earth, to take on frail human form. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, is fully divine. He is the complete and total embodiment of God, the one who created the world, the one who guides us. In thinking about Jesus as both Lamb and Shepherd, we find the image of one who becomes one with the people and then leads them forward toward salvation. Perhaps, culturally speaking, there is no one who is more one with the people than an idealized version of a mother. A mom is one who is one with her children. When they suffer and weep, she weeps with them, whether because they fell down on the school playground and scraped their knee, or their first love broke their heart. When a mother's children are sad, mom herself is sad. Like the lamb, she is one with them. And yet, she also has more experience in life than they do. She knows that that boo-boo on the knee will heal, and her child will be running the next day to play again. Perhaps she even knows from her own experience that broken hearts can also mend with time, and love can be found again. Jesus, in walking with his disciples towards his death, found himself on the Mount of Olives looking across the Kidron Valley toward Jerusalem. And as he stared at the temple and the seat of government where he knew power rested, who would condemn him to the cross, Jesus spoke aloud to his friends, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have wept for you. How I have longed to gather you under my wings as a mother hen shelters her chicks." Now that's a strange image. Jesus as a mama hen, Jesus as a chicken. It's not a very positive thing to call someone. Playground bullies will say to smaller children, "What, are you a chicken? You're afraid to fight?" Well, maybe Jesus fought like a chicken. Actually, he fought like a lamb. He fought like a lamb led to slaughter. He turned his cheek. He willingly took on himself the weight of the cross to bear our sin and suffering. Revelation 7 talks about the who of this future vision. Not the when or the where in ways that we can fathom, but the who, the Lamb on the throne, the one who is worthy of our praise and adoration. It also speaks of another who, those who gather around that Lamb, that multitude that you and I are invited to be a part of, people who come from all walks of life, from all times, from all places on the globe. We are invited to place Jesus Christ at the center of our lives, to build a throne in our own hearts where the shepherd lamb may dwell with us every day. The beauty of Revelation 7 is found in the promise that when we follow the shepherd lamb, we will hunger no more. We will thirst no more. The sun will not strike us, nor any scorching heat. But the shepherd lamb will lead us to springs of the water of life. Who is in that multitude? The powerful are there, but so are the weak. The rich are there, but so are the poor. Those who are at the front of that parade waving their palm branches are the ones who have been hungry and thirsty. The ones who have wept with hearts that would break into a million pieces. The shepherd lamb comes not for the perfect, but for the imperfect. Jesus, the shepherding lamb, the mothering lamb, the chicken hen savior, comes for a world that rejects him, and yet he comes, even now. The lamb seated on the throne invites us to make room in the middle of our lives, to welcome one who is both fully human and fully divine, one who knows what it is like to be broken and beaten, to be abandoned, despised, and betrayed. He calls us, both us who have at times betrayed him and ourselves when we have been betrayed. He calls us to join this mighty multitude in a place of healing and light, a place of hope. According to Hallmark cards, Mother's Day is a perfect holiday. Well, of course it is, because they make lots of profit selling cards and flowers and chocolates and other treats. I loved Michelle's description of a Mother's Day breakfast. Little ones toddling into mom's room with freshly prepared, maybe sticky pancakes. I wondered if that was how Reese and her husband Tyler Elser greeted her this day. But you know, Mother's Day is not always perfect. Not only do sometimes the pancakes get burned, sometimes the pancakes aren't there at all. Sometimes the woman who longed to be mother finds herself childless on Mother's Day. Sometimes the child who longed to have a loving mom embrace her or him finds himself orphaned because mom is gone, perhaps too young or perhaps at the end of life. For any for whom Mother's Day is less than perfect, the Lamb comes to offer love and sheltering warmth. We rejoice with so many women in this congregation who are beautiful mothers, who have raised healthy, whole families. But we also give thanks for women who have done their best. And if you ask them and they could answer honestly, they might say they fell short. Something is missing this day for them. But the lamb, the shepherd, the mother hen, Jesus, longs to gather us under loving wings, whether this day feels perfect or far from it. There is good news here. Who is invited to join the multitude around the throne? Those who thirst for something better. Those who hunger and long for something more. Those who know that sometimes the Hallmark version of the world just doesn't exist. And life is messy and hard. Jesus comes because all of that is true. If the world were perfect, the cross would have been unnecessary. But oh, my friends, we know. We know that the world is broken. And we need a Savior. We need one who will love and shelter us and welcome us home. Not because we deserve it, but because we are loved so much more than we could ever earn. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to everyone here, moms and dads alike, women and men, young and old, because each of you has a mother who loves you, a mothering God who would die for you, in fact, who already has. So on this Mothering Sunday, all of us know that we have a place waiting for us around that throne, where the one who is both shepherd and lamb calls us home to know that we are forgiven. One last interesting image from this text to go with Jesus being a mama hen is to think about God as a laundress, a washerwoman. God takes care of our dirty laundry. God takes the sin-stained souls that we lug around with us and washes them in the blood of the Lamb. In the eyes of the world, if you take a piece of cloth and you dump it in a vat of blood, it's going to come out red, maybe with time dry to a yucky brown. But when we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, we become pure white, clean, spotless. Our sin is washed away when the Lamb calls us home. What sin is lurking in your life? What stain do you keep hidden in the back corner that you would never tell anybody else about, and perhaps you don't even want to admit to God? I've got news for you if you don't already know it. God knows it's there. God knows about that little hidden sin that we tuck away and try to forget. And God loves us anyway. God invites us to come forward to the Lamb with our hands open wide, to confess we are imperfect. We messed up again. We have fallen short. And God, the washerwoman, laundress, cleaner of souls, will take us and cleanse us of that spot, that stain, that sin, so that we are restored and whole. Did you ever disappoint your mama? Did you ever come home on report card day and maybe kind of keep it hidden in your back pocket until she asked and made you bring it forth, and well, your grades weren't quite as good as they could have been, and you know that and she knows that. Those childhood memories of times when we disappointed a loving parent sometimes cloud our understanding of our relationship with God. That teenage rebellion that hopefully you and Mom both survived. Sometimes, not yet, still working on it. Sometimes that clouds our relationship with God. Sometimes we feel like the adolescent. Sometimes we feel like the parent who can't forgive. But God has it figured out. God knows the where, the when, the how, the why. But most importantly, God knows the who. God knows you, beloved child. Imperfect, broken, rebellious adolescent soul, less than complete. And God loves you as you are. Don't be afraid this week, sometime in a moment of prayer, to simply confess truly to the Almighty that thing that has been weighing on your heart and to let go of it. The Lamb's blood is there to wash it clean, to help you forgive yourself and turn your life to the right, to do a little bit better next week, to keep on trying to be faithful. On this Mothering Sunday, wherever you are in life, in your own relationship with your own mom or women in your world, may you know that God, the Great One, our Heavenly Parent, loves you just as you are. And there's a place waiting for you at the throne if you will just make room in your heart for Jesus, the Lamb, the Shepherd, the Great I Am. Amen and amen. The message of Revelation 7 is sung out for us in the hymnal on page 110. We will sing together, "You Servants of God," rich with the images that we have just heard in Scripture. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. If there is anyone here this morning who is longing to walk with the Lamb, to be guided by the Good Shepherd, we would invite you to come forward, to place your trust in Jesus, or to join this congregation if you need a church home. Let us stand and sing. We are indeed infinitely loved by the Savior, the Lamb, the Shepherd. There's a time of fellowship waiting for us downstairs. There's coffee and refreshments. I would encourage you, if you're able, to stay for just a moment and greet one another as you go forth to celebrate this Mother's Day with those that you love. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord Jesus, our Shepherd Lamb, guide us forth. Help us to know that our sin can and will be forgiven when we confess it to you. Lead us, Holy Lamb. Shepherd us, Mothering Christ. Guide us forth to be people who carry your image, your light, and your love into the world every day. Amen.